climate change legislation goes to the Hill.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiotakis in for Bill Radke, who's back next week. Senators John Kerry and Joe Lieberman are scheduled to unveil their energy and climate bill today. But the legislation faces an uphill battle. It doesn't have any Republican co-sponsors, and Senate leaders may settle on a scaled-down measure. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer reports.
The Senate bill being introduced today is expected to set a cap on domestic greenhouse gas emissions, but Senate leaders are leaning toward a smaller energy bill. It requires utilities to get 15% of their power from renewable sources like solar and wind power by 2021. It would be the first ever federal mandate on renewable energy.
A number of states have already done this, but there's been no federal requirement. So it would be a modest step.
That's Clean Air Watch President Frank O'Donnell. If you're thinking he doesn't sound too enthused, you're right. He says the legislation's definition of renewable energy is too broad. It includes things like nuclear power. Marchant Wentworth is a lobbyist with the Union of Concerned Scientists. He says the oil spill in the Gulf gives the bigger energy bill a boost.
Actually, this focuses American people on the need for, progress on, moving away from carbon fuels.
The House passed a sweeping energy bill almost a year ago. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Britain has a new prime minister. Conservative David Cameron formed a fragile coalition government with rival Liberal Democrats. The Conservatives claim to be more business-friendly than their political rivals, and traders seem to agree, but many political observers question the power-sharing deal that put Cameron in charge in the first place. Marketplace's Stephen Beard is with us live from London to talk about it right now. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Steve.
So the election returned some mixed results. What type of government has been formed?
It is a full coalition. Two separate parties have joined to form the government, with the Conservative Party in the dominant position. They've got the jobs of Prime Minister, Finance Chief, Foreign Secretary. The smaller Liberal Democrat Party has the job of Deputy Prime Minister and four other cabinet posts. Very unusual for the UK. We haven't had a coalition government since the Second World War. The hope is this will provide a strong, stable government to steer Britain out of the economic crisis.
But still a split. I mean, how strong can it be?
Well, it's going to be tricky, no doubt about it. These two parties are not natural bedfellows. The Conservatives are right of centre, business-friendly. The Liberal Democrats are rather left-wing. There's going to be friction, possibly over the issue of bank regulation. The two party leaders, David Cameron and Nick Clegg, have both spoken of a new politics, a new consensus to tackle Britain's big economic problems. But I have to say the cynics are saying it may not be too long before the two governing parties are fighting like ferrets in a sack.
Okay, Marketplace's Stephen Beard. That's probably the only time you'll hear that phrase today. Yeah, for joining us from London, Stephen, thanks.
Okay, Steve.
Let's check numbers. Shares in Europe are mixed right now. London's FTSE is off a few points, by the way. Major Asian stock markets fell today amid global concerns about economic growth. Wall Street was all over the place yesterday. The Dow fell 37 points to 10,748, but the NASDAQ was up. We get figures on the nation's trade gap today. The number for March is expected to show that we imported more items than we shipped out.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Citrix, offering GoToMeeting, allowing people to hold meetings online to collaborate in real time. More at gotomeeting.com/market. By LendingTree, offering the ability to manage money, credit, and loans all in one place. LendingTree.com. And by Novo Nordisk, committed to changing diabetes through treatments, partnerships, and education. Defeating diabetes is our passion and our business.
We're on the cusp of summer driving season. That's usually the time gas prices go up. So you'd think transit systems would take advantage of people wanting to flee their cars. Los Angeles Times columnist David Lazarus says they're not doing enough to woo the masses to mass transit. Morning, David.
Good morning.
Are people more inclined, do you think, because gas prices are going up? Typically in the summer they do go up. Do you think they're more inclined to use mass transit?
They will be. We saw when pump prices approached $4 or so in California last time, ridership went up. But as soon as pump prices started coming down again, ridership went down. So obviously, when gas prices go up again, and they will, we will see ridership coming up with them. But that's not going to be enough to get a lot of these systems over the hump. For example, the L.A. County Metropolitan Transportation Authority, it's the big dog in Southern California.
Oh, yeah.
They're looking at $181 million budget shortfall coming up in the next fiscal year. So I don't care how much ridership comes up as a factor of pump prices. You've got to bring it up even higher to put this thing in the black. And I don't think they're concentrating on that.
So convince me. I'm on the fence. I can, if I wanted to, use mass transit. Why should I?
Well, let's say that it was not only an easier thing to do, but it was actually a more productive thing to do. I mean, for example, I spend a couple of hours on the freeway every day. It's a miserable time.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm listening to the radio, but I could be making much better use of my time. Let's say that public transportation was able to offer comfort. The buses need to be clean. They need to be comfortable. Let's say there was Wi-Fi on board. You take out your iPad. You take out your laptop. Suddenly, the bus becomes far more attractive than the car. That's what public transportation needs to be selling.
You say it's doable. Will it be done?
It's tricky. Right now, it looks like a lot of transit operators nationwide see themselves as little islands. They look at how do we meet our nut? How do we get our fares up? Instead of how do we integrate with other transit systems in our region so that people will find this as a good way to traverse vast geographies, which is increasingly the case as people live farther and farther from their jobs. They're not doing that. Bus lanes will help. Express lines will help. Information technology. There should be websites in every metropolitan region that will bring all of the transit systems together, including their schedules, including where they run, and help people figure out a route that'll get from point A to point B using multiple systems. Ease of use, that's what they need to be selling.
David Lazarus from the Los Angeles Times. David, thanks.
Thank you.
And finally, for those who navigate the concrete jungle every day only to work extra hours, you're not going to like the reward. A British study found workers who clock 3 to 4 hours of overtime a day have higher incidence of heart problems. Say bosses who demand such devotion, put your heart into your job and hope your heart doesn't give out. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.